Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.
Thank you. Welcome to Canon Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian.
And I want to kick off with... outrageous comments about trans kids, in particular trans children. I think I have a quote here. In 2023, she compared transgender children to feces in a batch of cookies, and then also made the claim that healthcare professionals were chemically sterilizing 14-year-olds, which is both inaccurate and harmful, to create that impression. Anyway, this member of the Alberta Legislative Assembly said an outrageous...
What was the context of feces and cookies? I don't get that.
But there was a consequence. Simply evicted from the United Conservative Party in Alberta. Out you go, sling your hook, no longer in charge. But now there is an effort to bring this particular member of the Legislative Assembly back into the fold, you know. We're all a little bit more bigoted now, so let's see if we can have her back involved in the family and see where it goes.
Well, I don't know. Everyone deserves a redemption arc if she apologizes or, you know, does some reading.
I agree. Now,
there's a weird tone that you said that with.
Nicole Panoka, member of Legislative Assembly, Jennifer Johnson of the area, Nicole Panoka in Alberta, there has been an effort, I think is how I'm going to describe it. There has been an effort to address this issue. And that effort included a meeting with a number of organizations. I believe it was the Lacombe Pride Society, the Central Alberta Pride Society, and a number of others from QCU as well. Queer Momentum attended. Anyway, they all met with Jennifer Johnson on Monday, September the 16th. And essentially... the idea being, like, let's get queer leaders from the area she's in Alberta to meet and have a conversation and see, talk about maybe the damage that was caused, the impact it's had on trans youth in her own riding, and, you know, in total. Pammy, it apparently did not go well. According to a statement issued by QCU, and this isn't the news story I want to hang my hat on, but according to a statement, they say, quote, this statement denies the... Oh, she made a comment saying her lack of progress became abundantly clear when she was asked if she would go on record to state that trans women are women. Johnson stated that we would have to disagree and respect each other. They said that this denies the lived experience and reality of trans, two-spirit, and non-binary Albertans and demonstrates that she has not changed her views on the subject and should not be welcomed back into the caucus. Essentially, the attempt at building the bridge and reconciling resulted in the, no, I haven't really changed my mind, and the queer community going, well, if you've not really changed your mind, why should we change ours? It's an impasse. It seems to have been a brick wall. Now, the Zoom meeting is what went viral.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is so benign. This is so, you know, we've talked about stories like this where, you know, a small school board conversation or a chit chat with your local ombudsman or, you know, these sort of really out there bureaucratic moments in life just get blown up to the stage where it's like, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I'm not a cat.
I was going to reference that. I assure you I'm not a cat. It's
like these moments where you're like, how and why is that so blown out of proportion? So what our audience really needs to know is that in 2023, this member of the Legislative Assembly made the allusion that trans kids are like feces in a cookie. Outrageous comment. Should not hold a post in government with that kind of attitude towards youth. Anyway, there's this meeting trying to build a bridge. Hope, I think it was, it speaks to me personally, speaks to me like a PR exercise to rehabilitate her image. But even if it isn't, and it was an actual, genuine, heartfelt effort to try and bridge the divide, the outcome of it is that no divide was, in fact, bridged that day. The Zoom conversation went viral to the point where both Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling have chimed in on this particular debate.
I've read headlines about that, but I didn't read them because
It seems so asinine and out there, but no, it was like J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk, the world's richest man, felt the need to weigh in on a discussion in a part of Alberta that most Albertans probably haven't even heard of.
I was just going to say, like, my general attitude about all this is that, she has the right to her own opinion. She can believe what she wants to believe. She doesn't have to, kneel before the activists and,
Kiss the
touch her
ring.
forehead to the ground 9 times, but they don't have to vote for her either. And, there's a right way and a wrong way to disagree with people, and comparing them to feces and cookies is probably not the way to go about doing that. You can respectfully just say, look, I have a different world out view from you. And, I don't deny you your human rights and et cetera. I mean, you've heard the speech before from various people in various contexts, but there's a way to do it, and that's not the way to do it, basically.
Yeah, I mean, do the people of Alberta, are they waiting to see what J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk has to say about supposed to do. They're supposed to be acting in your best interests. And if
Well,
they're not, then
it's not
guess
just
what?
that. So, like, both the example from Alberta and actually your example as well, that representative didn't give the impression that they engaged with it. If they had said, I listened to you, I asked you to convince me, I said, bring me a case, and then somebody made their case and they said, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but I just happen to disagree with you because of these other reasons. Like, that's fine, but it seems like definitely in the case of the local representative in your case, that they just sort of said, yeah, okay, whatever. Even though people have been trying to bring documents to City Hall for years saying that it's just you're gonna make everything worse by doing this. It's the fact that they don't listen. And sometimes individual news stories like this can kind of indicate that this is a representative who, I don't know, I mean, not to be cynical, but they probably listen plenty good when it comes to the people who pay to get them there in the first place. And that's not some kind of shifty conspiracy theory. I'm just talking about donors. I'm not talking about, the lizard people who
Vested interests,
airdrop
lizard people.
them
Yeah, what would Bill Gates and Lady Gaga think?
in.
For the folks in Alberta in this riding, they're not going to be swayed by these LGBT activists who were clearly not persuaded. I imagine that none of these activists will therefore be voting for Ms. Johnson the next election. But I do wonder if it's these sort of key moments which will stick out in the mind of voters, where they're thinking, oh my God, who should I vote for? And you're like, oh, I remember this one guy complaining about high bus prices. Maybe that's an issue. You know what I mean? It's just one of these things that might just stick. I don't know. I saw this and I saw that Elon Musk, richest man in the world, and J.K. Rowling and felt the need to weigh in about a Zoom call that had eight people of them about this small riding in Alberta about something that was said 2 years ago. And I'm like, you know what? I think this is ridiculous.
It sort of slightly unrelated, but nevertheless, there has been a trend, and actually the youngest generation has been sort of pushing this. Just this idea that like social media is public, colon, it's okay to keep your inside thoughts inside, because we're actually seeing less social engagement, social media engagement among some younger people. The people who do are incredibly engaged, possibly even addicted. But there is a general turning away from social media platforms and apps in general. And a lot of it is just this notion of, I don't want strangers, or I don't care what strangers think, and I don't care what strangers think of my inner thoughts. And that just seems like a whole lot of calories burnt putting stuff out there just to get a negative response. So I don't know. It feels like the world is starting to move away from a lot of this. Like soon, no one's going to care what Elon Musk or J.K. Rowling or Lady Gaga or Taylor Swift thinks about anything, because no one's going to be online, and that's going to be the day when we take everything and throw it into that delicious hell pit that's constantly on fire. And I can't wait for that day.
I agree. All right, I want to move change speed a little bit here, and I'm going to be talking about a study that just got released in the Journal of Sport and Social Issues. It's the Journal of Sport and Social Issues. It is titled, and prepare yourself for this: Policing Gender and Sexuality in High School Sports, colon, the Mediating Impact of Hearing Anti-LGBTQ Language on High School Athletes' Self-Esteem Across Gender Identity, Sexual Orientation, and Race. The reason why I wanted to talk about this particular study, the title of which I'm not going to repeat again, the reason why I wanted to mention this is because it found something really quite interesting. They looked at about four schools, and I'm going to say in Nashville. I forget what it was. I can look it up in a second just to figure out exactly where it was. But they looked at a few schools in the States, and they were looking specifically at it was Fordham University that did the study. The gist of it is this: that there was this study, they were looking at locker room talk, essentially. And what they found is they wanted to look at the impact on self-esteem, on a sort of sense of self-worth, on sort of just how they're doing, on boys and girls in particular. And what they thought, what they expected, is conversations like, man up and don't be a pussy, and these sort of gendered, what some might call slightly toxic masculinity kind of phrases, would have a adverse impact on young gay kids. The finding that I think makes it really a conversation-worthy piece here is that they found that the greatest impact was on straight white boys. The idea being that for queer kids, for gay kids, if you're this slightly homophobic language isn't only in the locker room. You know what I mean? It's not like you open a door and it's like, hey, it's not just in that room. It's everywhere. So therefore, young queer kids develop certain coping mechanisms. They kind of get a bit tone deaf to some of it. They sort of isolate some of that out. So those phraseologies in that one room has maybe a bit more of a muted impact or less of a tangible impact. But for straight white boys in the locker room, they're hearing that and they're internalizing it. And the greatest impact is on their self-esteem. They looked at locker room culture and boys' sense of self-esteem in schools with reported rates of like really low incidences of. And then they looked at some schools where it was far more common. They looked at rural, suburban, urban schools to try and get a mix. And they found that in the schools where those kind of conversations happened more, it had a greatest impact on straight white boys who were particularly impacted by this. Is that surprising to you or unsurprising to you?
Not at all. Did they call it toxic masculinity in the study?
They call it homophobic locker room talk. I think it may they
Okay. Because like in the literature, because in social media and public discussions, we use the term toxic masculinity quite a bit, but actually in the literature, it has a very narrow definition that is incredibly different from the definition that we use in social media. So I was just wondering if they actually use that. But yeah, no, in general, yeah, not at all. Because I think a lot of queer folks, when they hear homophobic language in their brain, they just turn into like that scene from The Big Lebowski where they're just like, yeah, but that's just like your opinion, man. Just sort of shrug it off and go about your business. Or maybe you know already, or maybe you don't care, or maybe it doesn't bother you. Whereas I think the one exception is that if somebody's in the closet and they're afraid of being found out and they have a dangerous home life, I think that might be an exception. But otherwise, yeah, it's just this idea that you have to prove yourself as not being the thing that you're not. And I could definitely see that being an issue.
Yeah, you've nailed it. It's that policing. The study found that it was sort of anti-LGBTQ language or and anti-gay language in particular. They found that in scenarios where even if it's just a joke, even if it's just sort of mockingly, and there's no cruel intention behind it. They're not really bullying, but the language is being used. What they found is it kind of created an environment where there is gender policing. And what they were really wanting to look at, and I think all of our listeners here can agree, that engaging in sports for youth, for young people to engage in sports is a good thing. Team sports at a younger age has so many benefits, team building, interpersonal skills, the physical education as a part of it. Like there is great things that comes out of mandatory physical education and team sports in particular. So they wanted to measure whether or not the culture and language in these locker rooms interacts or interferes with what are these expected outcomes of sport. And they found that it did, that it was that self-esteem, that idea that when this language is present, these young boys and the folks around them are policing each other's behavior, each other's language more. And that's doing more than, like, that's having more of an impact on their self-esteem than what engaging in sport should otherwise do. Like, people should feel good about themselves after, scoring a goal or other sports metaphors. And clearly, it's a gay guy here. I've run out after hitting a not a flapjack. What's the? Oh, there's a ball.
Hitting a flapjack.
Yeah, I'm sticking with it. That's it. And I'm sticking with it. Yeah, I'm gonna Google it, and then after the music break, I'll tell you what term I meant. But I don't know. It's interesting to
You're
look
trying to
at.
say a hat trick?
That's the one I was looking for. All right. Well, on that lovely bombshell of me being so gay, I couldn't tell the difference between a hat trick and a flapjack. We're going to be playing our first track of the day. This is Dinner Coffee by Van Camp and Diner Coffee by Van Camp, and we'll be back just after this.
Sugar in your coffee, so you don't need to worry. Wish I could swallow my pride. Apologize, I owe that to you. Talking being younger, the setting days of summer. Your eyes are wide, moving side to side, surprised by the view. I don't recognize you. No, no, it's the same. No way I'm both surviving, finding our own ways. I don't seem to get you. You don't seem to care. Do I cross your mind when you ask, is it better out there? Your neighbors at the table, deciphering a riddle. That small town pride behind those eyes is getting to you.
Welcome back to Cancreer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Sebastian, what do you think of a gender-neutral submarine?
Aren't they all gender-neutral? I mean, I guess the tradition is that boats are always women.
You think the submarine itself identifies as they, them? It's one submarine being referred to as multiple? That would be really confusing. Okay, let me take a step back here, because I hadn't told you about this in advance. I wanted to get
welcome aboard the Starship Enterprise. She's a galaxy class. Like, normally, like, you know, boats and ships are referred to using female pronouns.
Is that what you're talking about? So the U.S. Navy has recently announced that they have released. It's been coined the gender neutral submarine. It's a battle ready submarine. It is an actual part of their naval fleet.
Nuclear or diesel?
I don't know if that's declassified information. I think it might be. I don't think it's a nuclear submarine. I think it might be the diesel one. But anyway, the point being, I think this is a great idea, because what the submarine actually is every sleeping quarter has the same level of privacy. They've designed it so that women can actually get into every one of the bunk beds, that the washrooms are not, that they're designed in a way that any serviceman or woman can use any of the washrooms. There are critiques of